Let's bow our heads, please, and ask the Lord to bless us as we study His Word together tonight. Father, we thank You for this good time of meeting here on this Wednesday night. And Lord, we're fixing to, Lord, look into the Word of God. I pray that we'll get something for our souls, for our hungry souls, from the Word of God tonight. Lord, bless each one in this building. Bless our Awana boys and girls and the workers over there. Just bless them. May it be a spiritually profitable time in their young hearts and lives, I pray. And then, Lord, meet with us around the Word of God tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray You would teach us the things of God tonight. And Lord, anoint me now as I preach and teach and get glory to Yourself through this service. And Lord, we do pray for our country during these days of crisis. Would You, God, would You bless America, lead our president, and bless our men and women, Lord, all over in the Persian Gulf area and those on their way. God, just bless and protect them and watch over them tonight. May there be a turning back to God. Thank You for the already we've heard of many, many being saved over there. And Lord, would You bless our boys and girls over there tonight. Bless America. Bless our leaders. Give wisdom. May there be, through this, a turning back to Thee across this land. Now, bless us tonight. Meet with us and build us up in the things of the Lord. In Jesus, Lord, now help me. Give me liberty as I teach and preach tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. We're on lesson 14, Rahab the Harlot. The word Rahab means insolence, fierceness, and spaciousness. Rahab was an Amorite, and the Amorites were pagan, heathen people, idolatrous people. She had a family, and her brothers and sisters and parents were alive, we know, at when the Israelites conquered Jericho, because it says so in the Word of God, and we'll see that in a few minutes. The name of her family was not given. But if you'll turn to Joshua 2, where we'll start tonight, Joshua 2, you can see that in 2:13, we can see her family mentioned here. Page 260 in your Scofield Reference Bible, Joshua 2, verse 13. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So she did have a family, but their family name was not mentioned. Now there's in three or four of the places in the Old Testament, the word Rahab is mentioned, but it's not the Rahab that we're studying tonight. It's a poetical name. Egypt, and parallel to the word dragon. But now, Rahab was known as a harlot, and her house was on the city wall, and made of sun-dried brick, and had a window on the outside of the city wall. And some people think the word harlot should be translated innkeeper, but I believe that throughout the Word of God, she's called Rahab the harlot. And this word stays with her through the Word of God, Old and the New Testament. And I believe that the reason, everywhere you see Rahab throughout the Word of God, in many places, it's God's Holy Spirit put that there because it shows the work of God, the great work of God's grace in her heart. Then let's notice first of all tonight what the Old Testament says about Rahab. First of all, her character in Joshua chapter 2. Three times in the book of Joshua, Rahab is referred to as a harlot. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Now, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Then we won't look at it right now, but in two other places, chapter 6, verse 17, verse 25, she's also called Rahab the harlot. She lived alone, as indicated in verse 18, where they were told to bind the scarlet in the window and bring your brothers and sisters and mother and father over to your house for safety. So she lived alone. She was unmarried. And her she had a house that was located high up on the wall so everybody could see the men that were entering and leaving her house. And the word harlot in both Hebrew and Greek just has one meaning, and that means harlot, immoral, impure person. So she was not of good character. And today, a lady like this, we would avoid her, we'd shun her, and certainly we wouldn't want to have a whole lot of social contact with a person like her. I know she was there up there on the city wall, on the wall of the city high up there, people could see the men going in and out. And I bet you the gossips had a time. I bet you the town gossips peeked out all the time, see who's going in and out up there. Just sort of like down when they had the massage parlor down here on the corner, down there at 36 and 75. And every time you'd go by, you'd look, see who's going in there, wouldn't you? I know one day, I saw a man drop his wife off to go to work there, and two or three children in the back seat of the car there. But Joshua sent two men to spy secretly on the city of Jericho, as we read in Joshua 2 in verse 1. And as I've said, the location of the house attracted attention since it's up on the city wall. Now, we're not told why these two men went to Rahab's house. And certainly you would question why they would go there. I don't think they went there for an immoral person, a purpose. I think that God led them there. I believe that. I'm talking about the massage parlor down on the highway there. A preacher one time back when it was causing so much consternation there on the corner, there's one local preacher, I won't mention his name, but he said, Brother Lassie, he said, bless God, let's go down there and go in that massage parlor and witness to all those people down there. And I said, I don't know about that. I know the Lord wouldn't lead me to go in. I don't want people seeing me go in. They wouldn't know what reason you were going in that place. But he was wanting to go in there and pass out tracts and witness those people. And I don't think Sister Lasby would have probably wanted me to go in to witness down at the massage parlor either. But anyway, the reason I believe that those men went to this place is because God, in His providence, led them there. God was at work. God knew that He was at work in the life of this harlot. And we know from Romans 8:28 that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I believe the Lord had prepared the way. He had prepared this harlot's heart. She had heard about how God had blessed the children of Israel, and God and the fear of God had come upon the people in Jericho, and especially this immoral woman. And God led these two spies to her house because God knew a work of God was going on in her heart. Then let's notice a second thing, her character first. Now, in Joshua 2, notice her works. First of all, she took a stand against the king of Jericho, her own homeland, her own city. She took a stand against these people. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. So Rahab hid these two men, the spy Israeli spies, and even though they were part of the enemy of Jericho, and she lied to the king's representative who came to her house. Now why would she do a thing like this? Why? Just like maybe an American falling in with the Iraqis now, or vice versa. She turned against her homeland. Why would she do a thing like this? She had heard of how God had led Israel out of Egypt and all of the great miracles that he had performed, how the sea had opened up, and that the Israelites had gone over on dry land, and how the sea came together on top of Pharaoh's army. She had heard about the overthrow of the kings, of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. Then look at verse 10. We see her, the great fear that came upon her in verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Now she knew all this, and God worked in her heart, and she saw the hand of God on Israel, and she protected these two spies. Then a second thing about her work, she planned the protection and the escape of these two spies. And in verse 4, we see she took and hid them. And then in verse 6, she brought them upon the roof and put some covered them with the stalks of flax, and she hid them. And then in verse 16, she told them where to go and how long to stay there. Look down at verse 16. "And she said to them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way." Then in verse 15, that great verse, "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall." So we'll see more about that, the scarlet thread or red cord, in just a few minutes. But she used this cord to let them down the city walls and to escape. A red rope, a scarlet thread. Then let's notice her faith in Joshua 2, 9 through 11. And she, in verse 9, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." For the, I underline, in fact, I put Rahab's faith above verse 11, and underline the last two lines of verse 11. "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Now here was a sinful woman, and yet she had a remarkable understanding of the work and the sovereign will of God. Now remember that this woman was the lowest of the low in the eyes of the Jews. First of all, she was a woman, and then she was a prostitute, and then she was a pagan. So she was the lowest of the low. But God revealed Himself to her and through her. And we see her faith in verse 11. What a tremendous, tremendous faith she had. Then look up at, back up at verse 9. "And she said to the men, I know." That demonstrates her faith. And then she acted upon her faith in verse 21 when they told her to hang out that scarlet thread from the window, and that'll bring your security, your salvation. And she hung out the scarlet thread, and she acted upon her faith. This is a great picture of simple faith. She was willing to risk her own life in order to save these two Israelites, because she trusted that in doing so, she would be saved. Then notice number 4 here, her requests in verses 12 and 13. Look at verses 12 and 13. "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So first of all, she asked for mercy for herself and for her family. Now, she didn't mention her husband or children, so this is evidence that she was not married. And then notice the men's reply in verse 14. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." So the men's reply, first of all, "We want your silence. Don't tell on us." Then second, the second reply from these men is down in verse 18. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." So first of all, the men said, "You keep silent, don't tell on us." And second, "Put the scarlet thread in the window." And then verse 19 says, "And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. But if you will stay in the house where the scarlet thread is hanging from the window, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon thee." So they were safe in her house under the blood represented by the scarlet thread. Then, number five, notice her true token. I'm trying not to get off on too many rabbit tracks tonight, because I want to get this entire lesson in, because there's a lot of truth in this tonight, but I want to get the entire lesson over to you tonight. Her true token in Joshua 2:12, 15, 18, and 21. We'll go over those individually in just a moment. But just as God would not destroy Sodom until Lot was out, then God, we find out, would not destroy Jericho until Rahab was out. And the true token, what was the true token that she requested? It was the scarlet thread. In verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." And the true token was this scarlet rope or scarlet thread that was to be placed outside the window, and Joshua's men would see that scarlet thread and they would be saved. And that speaks of our safety also in Jesus because of his blood sacrifice. We studied back in Exodus 12 the Passover, and what God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And here in Joshua 2 tonight, we have a similar promise. When we see the cord, you'll be safe. When we see the cord. If you're in the house, that is the cord, is red cords hanging out the window, you'll be safe. Oh, that's a wonderful picture, isn't it? The red cord of our salvation in that has been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed," as Peter says, "but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." I like what Brother Sandy, I've been thinking about that all week, Brother Sandy, what you said Sunday night. You get on an airplane, that'll take you in the first heaven. Get in a spaceship, take you up to the second heaven. You got to get under the blood to get to the third heaven. And that's true. That's true. I mentioned that at a preacher's meeting yesterday. We went out for lunch together. And he said, "Yeah, Brother Mays heard that one time. He went in Hardee's to eat. And somebody told him that in a Hardee's restaurant." Okay. But what a wonderful picture. The red blood, the red cord, the scarlet cord, And throughout the Word of God, I'm going to say that later on in a minute, you see the red cord woven throughout the Word of God. It takes blood in God's economy for salvation and redemption throughout the Word of God. Then, number six, Rahab was saved alive. Look at chapter 6. Turn over to chapter 6, verse 17. 6, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Then look down at verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all. Now I've underlined destroyed all there. And they utterly destroyed all. Now there's a real message there. They destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman, all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. So we see in verse 21, they destroyed everything with the sword. I mean animal, men, women, boys, girls, oxen, ass, sheep, all animals. So she, now get the picture. She was as good as dead if it were not for the scarlet thread outside her window. Isn't that a wonderful picture? And listen, the curse of death is upon the human family tonight. And our only salvation is to get under the blood, the red scarlet blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only now was she saved, but her whole family was saved. Her family was delivered. Look down at verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. I like that. She was saved to live. And why was she saved? Well, I think that one of the main reasons in the sovereign purpose of God, she was saved to live a new life as a channel for the Lord Jesus Christ. She married Solomon, and S-A-L-M-O-N, Solomon, I guess you'd pronounce that. And then she became the mother of Boaz, who later married Ruth and got in the line of Christ. Now, how did they save her alive? All the walls fell. Why didn't the wall fall around her? Well, I believe that it was the miracle working power of God that kept her alive. If you have your lesson, look at right at the top of the page there. The wall of Jericho fell down flat according to Joshua 6:20. Matthew Henry states, rather that part of the wall on which her house stood fell not. Why? Because of the power, miracle-working power of God. And then Rahab was not only saved alive, but saved to live. And it's great that we are saved alive. We're not saved dead. Now, a lot of people act like they're saved dead. But we were dead before we were saved, and now we are alive in Christ, and we're saved to live for Jesus Christ. And if we're saved, we have new life in Christ. And Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Now, let's look and see what the New Testament has to say about Rahab. First of all, Rahab became an ancestress of Jesus Christ. Rahab's faith was a saving faith, and she became, as I've already said, the wife of Salmon, and a part of the tribe of Judah, became a part of the tribe of Judah. And some think that she married one of those young men who were the two spies who came in, and she saved their lives, and then they went in and saved her when Israel invaded Jericho. But look over at Matthew, the first chapter, verse 5. Turn to Matthew 1, verse 5. And Salmon, in Matthew 1, verse 5, and Salmon begat, it says B-O-O-Z, that is Boaz, another rendering of Boaz is, I guess, booze. I don't like that word, booze. I know that's that must be one place that the King James is not perfect there. A man called Boaz, booze. You know, I went to a doctor one time over in Kingsport, Dr. Booze. Anybody, is he still over there? Anybody, do you know, he's still there. Huh? Guess he's a good doctor. But Dr. Booze, well anyway, Boaz, Salmon begat Boaz, and that it's Rahab there, but that's Rahab. So Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. So he was Boaz was a son of Salmon and Rahab. And then Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, or by Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. So here is the harlot Rahab, I guess the great-great-grandmother of King David. And so through David then, and through she got in the family line of Jesus Christ. So Rahab, in God's great providence and purposes, the Rahab the harlot was a great-great-grandmother of David. Now turn over to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verse 1. Isaiah 11, verse 1, page 723 in your Scofield Reference Bible. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who is the rod out of the stem of Jesse? Who is the branch out of his roots? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look at Jeremiah 23, 5. Jeremiah, turn over to Jeremiah 23, verse 5. These are great prophetical verses. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch and a king. Notice branch is capitalized and king is capitalized. And a righteous branch and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And this is fulfilled in Jesus, the Son of David, as we read there in Matthew 1, 5 and 6. Romans 1, 3 says, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, why are we given all these details tonight? What do they have to do with Rahab the harlot? Well, it's amazing that a pagan harlot is the great-great-grandmother of David and an ancestor of Jesus Christ according to flesh. God's plan, God's sovereign purposes are beyond finding out, aren't they? They're marvelous. When we behold the sovereign purposes of God. And you can see them in your life, can't you? We see God's sovereign purposes being worked out in our life. In God's plan, things falling in line for the child of God. Then let's notice Rahab's faith confirmed. Turn over to Hebrews 11, verse 31. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So Rahab's faith put her in this great hall of faith, the heroes of faith that we find in Hebrews 11. And notice she was called the harlot Rahab again. And she's the only woman mentioned in this lineup of the heroes of faith, of the hall of faith, except Sarah. And the secret of her security are mentioned right here. The two words, beginning of verse 31, by faith. And by the way, folks, that's the secret for our security too. The words, by faith. Now, what is faith? Turn back to Hebrews 11, verse 1. We see the great scriptural definition of faith. Now, faith is, I like that, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, our faith in God, is evidence. Well, first of all, it's substance, and then it's evidence. We never go wrong putting our faith in the living God. And Rahab had this kind of faith. And the author of Hebrews, I believe was the Apostle Paul, was careful to put the word harlot here along with faith. Rahab was a harlot, but she was forgiven and saved by faith. Then let's notice Rahab's faith produced works. Turn over to James, a few pages over to the little book of James, chapter 2, verse 25. James 2, verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now that gives a lot of people, has given them down through the years a lot of trouble, because Paul says that Rahab in Hebrews 11 was justified by what? Faith. Now what does James say she's justified by here? Huh? By works. Now, how do you reconcile? Is that a contradiction in the Word of God? You think that's a contradiction? Now, do a little thinking. It won't hurt you. We won't pass the offering plate again. One, here it says that she was justified by works. Paul said a few verses back in Hebrews 11, she's justified by faith. But they don't contradict each other. Faith justified Rahab, and works justified her faith. Now, do you see what I'm getting at? The faith is the root of our salvation. We're saved by faith. But do you know how you prove to the world that you're saved? By the way you live, by your works. And so faith is the root of our salvation, but works is the fruit of our salvation. I believe when a person genuinely gets born again and comes out of sin and comes into the glorious new life in Christ Jesus and gets rightly related to heaven and gets their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I believe there's going to be some changes made in their life. And we're saved by faith, but in the sight of the world, we're justified by our works. That's proof, assurance, evidence to the world that we are saved. It is evidence. It is fruit of our salvation. So there's no contradiction in here. When they saw Rahab the harlot and her works, that proves that she was justified by faith in the Lord God of heaven. Now, let's look at the lessons that we should learn from this study. Now, I'm not going to go down all of these tremendous lessons. I have hurried through this tonight and just reached over and hit some high spots because I wanted to get this entire lesson in to you tonight as a unit. But let me just make a few things, concluding remarks about Rahab. Folks, let's don't look down our noses at somebody who's poor, are less fortunate or less educated or of a lower class or another color of skin than I am or you are. We shouldn't look down our noses at people like that. And God is a God of, by the way, everybody's welcome at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Years ago, as a man on our staff told me that there's a Jay Bird up here in Colonial Heights, that I knew that character from years and years and years ago. And he was a wealthy person. And he visited out here two or three times. And I wouldn't even go visit that Jay Bird. I didn't care where he came to this church. No, I knew him. And we didn't need characters like that around this church. Some people you're better off without in a church. And I wouldn't even go visit him. I knew he would two or three times. And I hit Holy Living. He wouldn't come back anyway because I knew him too well. But this staff member said, well, you're just interested in just winning the down-and-outers. I think we ought to try to win some of the up-and-outers. I looked at him. I said, listen, I don't check anybody's Dun and Bradstreet rating before I go visit them. Everybody's welcome at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I mean that. I don't care how much education you have or don't have, or how much money you have in the bank or how much you don't have, or who you, or what side of the tracks you're from. You're welcome at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And if I have any pets at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you know who it's going to be? It's going to be the people that are out and out for Jesus Christ. If I have any favorites, I'd have to show favoritism to people that love Jesus. Because that's my kind. That's my kind of preacher. And people that love God, going God's way, love the old-time religion, premillennial fundamental, I show a little favoritism to that crowd. Hallelujah. But we should not look down our noses at people in lower classes of life or lesser circumstances, because God loves them just as much as he does us. And God can save them and do a work of grace in their heart. God is a God of judgment, but I'm glad that he's a God of mercy. And in Rahab, we see him as a gracious, merciful God. It's amazing that God could use a harlot, a prostitute, to help Joshua conquer a city. That's amazing, isn't it? And that, listen, God can help. God can use us. I don't care who we are. If we love him and serve him, God can use every person in this building tonight. I don't care who you are. If you'll live for Jesus and get in his word and try to walk with God, you can have the blessing of God on your life. If you'll do that, all you need is to walk with God and seek to please God. And God can bless each one of us here tonight. Isn't that wonderful? God can use you with or without talent. God who made this world is not limited to my lack of talent or abundance of talent. If I'll yield what I have to Jesus Christ, he can use me. The reason the Lord doesn't use us more is we're just not yielded to him. If we love him and yield to him and sell out to him, God can take a nobody and do a lot with him. He can hit a hard lick with a crooked stick. Hallelujah. He did with this harlot. And so we, as I said a while ago, we see the red scarlet thread woven throughout the Word of God. And don't you ever think that anyone gets too low for God to do something for them. And tonight, maybe you might be down in the dumps. And maybe you think, well, the Lord just can't use me. Yes, he can. God, if God can take a pagan harlot and use her in a great way to save a city and to become an ancestress of Jesus Christ, God can use us if we just yield ourselves to him. Rahab was not good, but she exercised faith. And if we'll exercise faith, God can bless us. She exercised faith, and God and her faith saved her. She knew that the power of God was upon Israel. You put her faith in that great God. And if you have a need in your life tonight, this woman, this lowly woman, and woman all alone on that wall, a harlot woman, a woman of ill repute. Oh, she saw the power of God. She put her faith in God. And look, and then as Paul Harvey says, you know the rest of the story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that same grace is available for me and for you tonight. Aren't you glad? How does the song go? Let's sing it. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever sing the story, shouting glory, 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 hallelujah. Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah tonight. Oh, and it's a wonderful story. I raced through it tonight to get the whole lesson in. But what a great story of God taking this poor lady in sin and in darkness and reaching down in His grace and speaking to her heart and saved her and put her in the line of Christ. And she's a hero of faith, a heroine of faith, and we'll see her in heaven someday. That's a wonderful, wonderful lesson. Then our next lesson, we have another missionary coming next Wednesday night. I think we're going to have this 2 weeks from night, we'll have the missionary to Grace Station back in the pulpit. I think we're